Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. Settle into your chairs, everyone, because I've got a great show for you today. I've been able to book a worldwide leader in teaching clients how to stop hiding in the shadows of their brilliance and stepping into the power of who they are. Her name is Dr. Carol Parker Walsh. She is the CEO of Carol Parker Walsh Consulting Group. She's a two-time best-selling author. She really needs no introduction. She's been a coach to Grammy Award winners, Paralympic gold medalists, Fortune 500 executives, and seven-figure driven professionals and entrepreneurs. I'm so excited to have Dr. Walsh on the show today, or as they call her, Dr. Carol. So Dr. Carol, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thank you for having me, Andy. It is such a pleasure to be here.
Well, the pleasure is ours. Let's start by pulling the lens back to 30,000 feet. We have so much to talk about, so much to cover. And for the people watching the show, watch it all the way through, because by the time we're done, I'm sure Dr. Carol is going to be able to transform you just through the screen and just through the podcast. But let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet, Dr. Carol, and tell us about the Carol Parker Walsh Consulting Group.
Yeah, I started this practice about 7 years ago after my own series of pivots in my career. So I started off as a labor and employment attorney in Chicago and did employment discrimination litigation for several years before I moved out to the Pacific Northwest. And so I did that work. So I was very clear on how not to treat employees. And so I saw the whole workplace from that lens. I transitioned into becoming an internal organizational consultant, where I started doing coaching, training and development, building training programs for new and emerging leaders, helping to develop their leadership skills and doing a lot of team group, team development work, as well as diversity consulting. And then after I decided to go back to get my doctorate degree, where I really focused on identity and gender identity and racial identity and how we really figure out who we are in the world and how that informs the work that we do, I moved into academia and became a professor and started directing graduate programs, became an associate dean. In between there, I'd been a director of HR. You know, I've done quite a few things in my career. So it wasn't until the precipice of my 50th year that I thought, you know, what is it that I really want to do? I was in a massive near fatal car accident, which precipitated that particular decision, but it really made me start thinking about the how we choose what we do and the challenges that we have, particularly at midlife, to really claim our own brilliance and step into what it is that we want to do in that iteration. And that's where Carol Parker Walsh Consulting was born. And I decided to start working with women, particularly at midlife, who were trying to make the transition, but really felt the golden handcuffs of the success that they achieved, the titles and the salaries and the like, and really the struggle from walking away from a salary and the reputation and the prestige that comes from the position they had into doing work that they're really meant to do in the world. And, you know, so that bringing all of my experience and looking at people from the different lens of employment situations and understanding that experience myself, I decided to really pour into other people who were at that place and wondering, how do I get to what I want to do next?
Wow, Dr. Carroll, you're absolutely an underachiever. I think you need to go back and do more with your career. Listen, Dr. Carroll, when we think about one of your famous quotes, it's tear up the rule book and set the world on fire. And I love that so much. So what is it about working with women and helping them achieve that really sort of is your guiding mission? Because it's so interesting.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is that most women, particularly from the those who are in midlife right now, as we grew up, we were sent messages around with a lot of limitations in terms of what we could do, how far we could go, messages about either, you know, don't overshine the boys in the class. I remember my mother telling me that, don't outshine the boys because you may not get a husband. So we were raised from a generation of women who didn't have a lot of opportunities and instilled that in many of us. And so what I find is that many women have gone through their careers, even though they're very successful, but they still put a cap on themselves. They still put a limitation on how big they can show up, on how to promote their own successes and achievements, on how to really show up in their full power and significance. And so there's always been a little bit of a lid that's been placed on them. And now that they're at a place and stage in their life, what I'm telling them is to throw out the rule book, get rid of the societal ideas of what it means to show up in the corporate space, what it means to talk about your own brilliance and your success, what it means to really take control of your career and really build what I call career life alignment, and letting what you do really be very well informed and connected to how you want to live your life. And so when I say tear up the rule book and set the world on fire, I'm saying get rid of that and start stepping into your own power and see what's possible for you and start stepping into that new iteration.
That is so powerful. You know, I would imagine some of the clients, maybe they've lost their passion and enthusiasm, which was the thing that initially drove their success to begin with. And perhaps right now, maybe you feel or they feel that they're going through the motion. So how do we get those people that seem to be stuck in just going through the motions to take the world by, you know, by everything that it has and start living, you know, a more powerful life?
Yeah, one of the things that I often see, it sounds very simple, but it's very true. When I ask the women that I work with, tell me what you want to do with your career, they very few can answer that question because they've been following this pre-described idea of what it is that they think they should be doing. So they believe, well, I have this job, so I should go for the promotion, right? I should go for what's next. So in many ways, they've been on autopilot, just running the race, trying to get those gold coins at the end of the journey and not really paying attention to the journey itself. So for, and as high achieving women, right, we are always going after what's next, right? We're always going after that next award, that next brass ring, you know, and so on and so forth. But what we don't do is stop and take a look at the journey that we've been on. So when I ask the question, what do you really want to do? It requires them to really stop and think, what do I want? Often they haven't listened to that voice inside their head that's been telling them for so long, this is what I want to do. Or maybe they lost that childish curiosity that they once had, where they had a passion for art and creativity, but they decided to become an engineer because their parents said, well, that's a good profession that you can make money in. And so they followed these kind of pre-described paths without really considering not only what do I want to do, but what am I really good at? Right? What do I love? What am I good at? And what can I really offer the world that would not only bring me income, but bring me joy?
That makes all the sense. And it's so impactful and so important. And something that I know you talk about a lot, Dr. Carroll, and I wanted to speak to you about it because it just is so fascinating. You talk about alignment. And oftentimes people come to you and they're not in alignment, and this is causing them all kinds of stress. And maybe they've, you know, they've ignored or they've denied their passion or their inner being, and their inner being is not in alignment with their outer being, let's just call it. So how do you get those people in alignment? Because that seems like that's an overriding message of yours, and I love it so much.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, I hear so much around, and this is where my work on identity development really comes into play, is what happens for so many of the clients that I work with is that they've developed this kind of career persona and this career identity. And as a result, they've lost their own identity, right? So you hear people say, well, I'm a lawyer. And I always often correct them and say, well, no, you're not a lawyer. You practice law. You know how to practice law, but who you are is not a lawyer, right? Or I'm a doctor. And we've been trained that way, right? You meet people, you network, and they say, what do you do? You say, well, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I'm a this, I'm a that. And so what happens is our career identity and persona has overwritten who we really are as a person. And so the reason that they're out of alignment is that they've lost a sense of who they are, right? They've disconnected that piece of who they are and replaced it with, well, this is who I am. And what makes it really challenging for them to have an alignment both in their life and their profession is that they think that what they do has to be the work that they do in the world, as opposed to really going back to identify who I am and where, what's my purpose and what do I, how do I really want to fulfill that space and place and the work that I'm meant to do from my own perspective. And so what gets them out of alignment is that unfortunate, we have to untether this idea of your career identity and your personal identity, and then start looking at what type of life do you want to live. So for example, I remember, and I could speak to myself personally, when I mentioned I was in a car accident, I was working on the weekends. I had my kiddos in the car with me, coming back from work on the weekend when I was in a car accident. And that's really out of balance. Like, why was I going to work on the weekend? But we think that's what we have to do because that's the career persona that we have to live. And so that's where we get out of alignment, is that we lose a sense of ourselves and we replace it with this idea of who it is that we think we have to be.
That's so interesting, Dr. Carol. You know, in your own journey, here you are. You know, I joked a little bit earlier about, you know, being an underachiever. Obviously, you've achieved a lot. You know, you were an attorney. You went and became a professor. You've got a doctorate degree and so many other accolades and things like that. But was there something along your path that you finally said to yourself, you know, this is not jiving for me. This is not in alignment for me. Maybe what I'm doing isn't perfect for my life. And you had a car accident, maybe that coalesced that thought. And then you went on a new journey to help other people. Is that sort of the trajectory of what happened here for you?
That's exactly, Andy. As I mentioned, I was working on a weekend coming home with my kids. And, you know, it's interesting. I use this as an analogy with my clients, too, that I was on a 2-lane road. And on one side was a drop off to a ravine. On the other side was oncoming traffic in a hill. And as I was coming up this road heading home, I see these lights coming at me. And literally, I remember in a split second for a moment, I thought, is this going to be it for me? You know, because where was I going to go? But there was a moment in time that I heard a voice as strong as if it was in the car next to me to say, turn now. And I remember in a moment, which felt like minutes, but it really was a split second, I thought, where? Turn where? Because if I go here, I'm going to drop off the side of the road. And if I go here, I'm going into oncoming traffic. But in that moment, I did make the turn. I went into the oncoming traffic. And even though the car still hit me, it hit the passenger side of the car, and it pretty much broke every part of my body on the right side. I was in a wheelchair for 6 months. I had to, you know, do physical therapy to start using my leg to walk again. I had multiple surgeries in the hospital for a month. I mean, it was devastating. But what I often say is that had I not made the turn, I definitely would have been hit head on and I would not be here today. And I know so often when people are thinking about making a pivot or transition in their career, there's usually this voice inside of their head that's saying, this is not what you want. You're not happy. You're burnt out. Try to do something different. Or we start volunteering, or we start doing these extracurriculars that are really exciting to us. And we think, man, I would love to do this full time, but there's no possible way I can make the turn to do it. And so what I know for sure is that if we don't make the transition, and, you know, admittedly, at midlife, we have fewer years ahead than behind. If we don't, what we'll do is that we'll die emotionally, spiritually, you know, we just won't have the same fire. And what I know to be true is that the things that we regret aren't the things that we've done. It's the things that we did not do. It's the choices and the options that we did not take. And so to avoid living a life of regret, wondering what if, I say, listen to that voice, right? To turn, to make the turn. And while the options may not seem optimal either way, that's where I come into play to help to guide you to really understand how to take up that option, how to really make the turn in a way that's not going to be devastating. That doesn't mean you have to go broke. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to go back to school. That doesn't mean you're going to lose everything you've already worked for so long. So I encourage women to listen to that voice when they hear make the turn, because I know literally it saved my life. And I believe very strongly that really it could save their life as well.
Wow, Dr. Carol, that is so interesting. I think that's going to be the title of your next best-selling book called Make the Turn. I love it so much. It's just a fascinating story, and you turned into traffic. But really, you know, if you look at it in a kind of a powerful way, even though it ended up with you being in the hospital for 6 months and you ended up in a wheelchair, and thank God, you know, you came out of it, you know, in terms of your career trajectory, it made you think in a different way and be able to use this example to empower other women, which is just so fascinating and so like spiritually alive. I can't even describe it into words. Now,
yeah.
Dr. Carol, yeah, when people reach out to you, and obviously, you know, you can go to your website, you can read the testimonials, you've helped so many people, it's incredible. What does that first call or that first Zoom call sound like from the women? What's sort of the guiding thing of all the women that reach out to you that you can sort of relate to that they're having a challenge with?
Yeah, it's this idea that I feel stuck, but I'm not sure what to do. Right. I'm not happy. I don't know if I should leave. I don't know if I should go. I'm just not clear on what's my next best step. And that is the process that I like to move them through. Because I call the first step is that we go through a process of discovery. It's almost like what I call an archaeological dig. So what we start doing is really reconnecting to what makes them talented, what makes them gifted, what are the skill sets that they have, not just that they develop through education and experience, but the things that the natural gifts they have inherently is what I call their superpowers, right? So too often we don't pay attention, because particularly women are really bad at identifying previous accomplishments and tuning their own horn and really taking a moment to be proud of the things that they've done. Because of that, they have forgotten how brilliant they are in a lot of ways. They've forgotten projects that they led and were miraculously amazing at, that the kudos they got for leading a team and turning an entire company or division around. They forgot that they landed multi-million dollar deals and what the process was for them to actually make that happen. So they forget all of the things that they actually were able to do, these natural talents, gifts, and abilities that they have, and they get singularly focused on the job title and can I do this or can I do that? And what am I not qualified for, as opposed to what do I bring to the table and what am I qualified for? So usually the place that they come to me is this stuckness of not knowing which way they should go. And from my perspective, the reason they're stuck is because they haven't taken inventory of everything they have to bring to the table. And when they take inventory of what they do have to bring to the table, then they stop looking at other jobs to try to fit in, but they start looking at what they have to offer and then finding places and spaces that match what they have to bring to the table.
Dr. Carol, that's so fascinating. And it's so like right on the money. It's so interesting that not only women, everyone, some they get trapped in a box. They start searching for answers. And for them, it's hard to imagine what kind of life might be waiting for them outside of the box. And you help them understand their greatness. In other words, it sounds to me like they come to you and they don't really even realize how great they really are and really what they've been able to do and the shining lights and moments of their life. And maybe they forgot them, or maybe they were a little bit insecure to talk about them, or maybe they didn't want to put it out there, or maybe they just forgot about them because there's so many. And you help them get outside the box by helping them rediscover the light that they brought into the world. Is that the idea?
That's exactly right. You know, most of, like I said, because these are high performers, these women are high up in organizations, or they've achieved a lot in their careers, they've gone through a lot of barriers and a lot of struggles. They often find themselves to be the only woman in their profession, right? You know, I work with interventionist cardiologists, you know, who, where there's only maybe 5 or 6 or 10 in the world in what they're doing, right? So I work with these women who break through these barriers where there's not a lot of women there, or there's not a lot of women of color there, or they're in a very a field that's either predominantly male dominated, and so they're constantly breaking through barriers. And because they've kept their head down and made it through, they just forget how much work that took, and how much tenacity and strength, intelligence, and smarts and know-how that it took to actually do that. And imposter syndrome is something that, you know, we've heard and talk a lot about, and women particularly suffer more from it, even though men suffer from it as well, but women suffer more from it. And this idea that even though they've done all these things, they still struggle with seeing themselves as they really are. And so what I try to do is help to bring them up to speed with what's true about themselves. It's part of the reason why they downplay their successes and they downplay the things that they were able to do, is because they are struggling with seeing themselves as that bright, shining star that they actually are. So my work is really helping to diminish the imposter syndrome, turn up the volume on the confidence level, and really have them see themselves for who they truly are and what they've actually accomplished. And for some women, particularly how deeply, it depends on how deeply ingrained this idea of, well, I don't want to brag, and I don't want to come across as arrogant, or I don't want to be seen as someone who's braggadocious or things of that nature. Depending on how deeply ingrained that is, it takes a little bit of work to help them really start seeing their own light. But, you know, it's such a fascinating concept and dissonance between how far they've come and how much greatness that they've been able to accomplish, but how they struggle with really seeing it.
Wow. Very, very fascinating. What does an engagement look like with you, Dr. Carol? Do you have weekly or monthly meetings with your clients? Is it done through Zoom or phone? How does all that work?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a program that's called the Career Rebel Academy. And this is the way that, you know, I invite women to come to work with me through that space, because it's really about being a disruptor in the career space. It's really about, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, I talk about tearing up the rule book, breaking free from the status quo, and really taking control and defining your own career path. And for me, in that process, we work through three phases, which I talked about initially, the discovery phase of really just kind of uncovering and mining through all of the greatness they have to offer. And then there's a piece that I call the amplify phase. And so we work through that. And that's really about branding. And that's about positioning yourself as a leader in your industry, of putting yourself out there in very visible ways so that people can find you and see you. And then the final phase is elevate, which is the process of building that alignment and you stepping into that next iteration of what it is for you to do. For some women, that means staying at the organization, but in a different position. So for some, it means transitioning into something completely new. For others, it means turning that kind of side hustle or to come from a sidepreneur into their actual entrepreneur's space, right? So through that process, we work together over a series of months, doing both individual and group work to really get that support. And the reason that we do a lot of group work is because I believe very strongly in building community. And because these women have been isolated in their organizations, because maybe they're the only woman in their space or things of that nature, it's really important for them to come together in a community of other like-minded, successful, high-powered women so that they can get the support, they can be vulnerable, and they can know they have a place that's going to inspire and uplift them and take care of them while they're working through these transitional and transformational journeys that they're on.
That's great, Dr. Kroll. And I love the name, the Career Rebel Academy. You know, everything about you is sort of a little rebellious, I think.
A little
bit. Right? And I like that. You know, it's really powerful and tear up the rule book and set the world on fire. And you followed the rules your whole life. Now let's sort of break the rules a little bit and get you out of your box. And I like that so much. Let's talk about sort of the work family balance. Is there some challenges there when the women come to you and maybe some concerns about how to make that maybe a better balance? Or is that something that these high achieving career women aren't really thinking about at this point?
Yeah, no, Andy, that is a great question, because the reason that I often work with women at midlife who are at this higher level in their career and at a certain age and space is because the midlife pivot is a very challenging one, because yes, they not only have children who are in private school or kids who are about to go to college or kids who are actually in college, they also have aging parents that, you know, now they have to care for and have some idea about, are they going to live with them? Do they move or relocate the parent? There's mortgages. They're trying to fund their 401ks. You know, they're trying to keep a sense of balance with their spouse or their partner to make sure that they can have some type of home life. So there's something that they can look forward to at some point in terms of when they want to retire. So there's a lot of competing things that are going on in their life. And that's particularly why I love to work with this population, because when you're going through that, how you manage your career and how your career fits into all of that is very important. And so it's also the reason that keeps them stuck in their careers, because they're thinking, my salary funds all of this. And so there's no way that I can move from it. And that's why we go through this process in a very kind of slow, methodical way and not make any sudden movements, because there are so many other considerations, not to mention there's health considerations for, you know, a lot of women when they're, you know, getting older. So there's medical bills. So we need to have all of that. So there's so many more considerations at midlife than there are at other times in your life, that when you're balancing both what you do and how you manage your family and build what I call that career life alignment, because balance is a struggle. I don't often like the word balance, because it means something's going to give, right? Something's going to be higher and something's going to be lower. But when you try to build alignment, it allows you to have things in a more cohesive way, so that the work that you're doing doesn't take away from your life and your lifestyle doesn't have to be sacrificed for the work that you do.
That's very interesting. And I can see how breaking the box and stepping outside the box is so much harder at midlife, let's say, than maybe 10, 20 years prior, because there's so much more at stake. And
yes,
to be able, is that sort of what they're thinking in their minds?
Absolutely. That's 100%. You hit the nail on the head there. Yeah.
Wow. So fascinating. Now, Dr. Carol, behind you, you've got one of the greatest words, I think, maybe in the English language. It says grateful. And I love that word so much. And it just resonates for me and all the great entrepreneurs that we have on the show. They talk about being grateful. And I know that you're grateful as well. How important is that word to you? And how important is that to get across to your clientele as well?
Oh, what a great question. Yeah, gratitude is so important, because if we don't take a moment to be grateful for the things that we've accomplished, the things that we've done, the things that we have currently, it's going to be really challenging to go after anything more. One of the things I often tell my clients is that the past is over, right? At midlife, the only move that matters is your next move, not what you've done in the past. So let's let go of that, because there's nothing we can do about that. What we have to do is stay in the moment and stay present and know that the decisions that we're making today are the ones that are going to inform our future for tomorrow. And the only way to make some of the best decisions we can for ourselves, for our families, for our lives, is to really start appreciating and have gratitude for what it is that we have today, what it is we were able to create today. Even if you think, oh, I wish I had done this 10 years ago. I wish I had knew this 5 years ago. I wish I had made a different choice or had a different path before. What I tell my clients all the time is every decision you made in the past has given you the gifts of what you have today. So you have to be grateful for those experiences. Don't judge them as good, bad, or indifferent, but look at them as what that's brought for you today and have a tremendous sense of gratitude. When you do that, that gives you an abundance mindset so that you can not feel afraid to make decisions for the future. If you think you've made bad decisions in the past, you won't be grateful for what it taught you today, and you'll be afraid to make really good decisions that'll help you move for tomorrow. So gratitude is such a key aspect of being in the present, in the moment, so that you can make thoughtful choices for your life moving forward.
Wow, Dr. Carolyn, for the people watching the show, rewind that, go back a couple minutes and listen to that every morning when you get up, because it's just so valuable and so interesting and a great way to live. When we think, Dr. Carol, and pardon me for keeping you a little bit over time, but I have so many questions, and I wanted to ask you a few more questions, if you don't mind. And again, thanks for staying with me just a little bit longer than scheduled. You know, when we think about it, I would imagine that people reach out to you, Dr. Carol, and they're living a life maybe based on what other people's ideas for them should be versus maybe their own idea of what they should be. Is that something that you hear a lot? And how do you get people to move to become the idea of their own versus what they believe other people want them to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that is so true. I have, I remember when I did my my first TEDx talk, and at the end of it, which was around fit versus belonging and how we, you know, cut out pieces of ourselves to try to fit into some other ideas of who we should be. And I remember a woman came to me at that time who became a client who said, you know, I've been in this profession for a lot of years and I realized I don't want to do this, but it was something my father said that I should do. Right. So I hear that a lot. I even think about me going into law was something that I remember my parents saying, well, you need to have a good job when you graduate, right? You need to go into a profession that's going to earn you income. And I know so many people who, I had a client who's a lawyer because her father was a lawyer and she absolutely hated it, but it was the path that her parents had set her on, thinking it would be a good path for you because it was a good path for them. So this is the thing about what I say about women who, you know, just get kind of told what to do, or because they want to please and because they want to come across as someone who's listening and a dutiful daughter or something of the like, that they follow and become and go into these careers that really weren't designed for them, or something they want to do, or because somebody else in the family did it, or because a great mentor or somebody they respected suggested that this was the path that they go through, that was the course that they've taken. So absolutely, I get that a lot, that, you know, the profession that I'm on, the path that I'm on was not one that I designed for myself. And I'm struggling with figuring out how to get off the path because I never even considered the possibility that there could be something else that I could potentially do. So absolutely, that's a challenge.
Wow. So fascinating, so interesting and intriguing the way you sort of position everything and the way you break down very complex challenges in people's lives into a way in which they understand it, Dr. Carol. And that's the one thing that you've really become known for. And one of the things that you really have done such an amazing job with your clientele, not only on the private one-on-one sessions, but the group sessions that you lead as well. It's so interesting. So before we leave today, Dr. Carol, I wanted to ask you a final question about entrepreneurship, because, you know, you work with entrepreneurs and that's really who these people are. And they want to get outside the box a little bit and change things and become what they always wanted to become, but they didn't maybe know they wanted to become it until they spoke with you. So for the entrepreneurs having a tough time in their journey, for the entrepreneurs that are maybe hitting a pothole in the road or they have an obstacle they can't get around, what type of advice do you have for those entrepreneurs moving forward to get through those tough times and challenges to come out the other end and continue to, you know, strive for greatness?
Yeah. For me, it's reconnecting to the impact that you want to make on the world, right? The thing that sustains me in my business through the ups and the downs, and there are times that I have thought, what am I doing? Because that's the journey of entrepreneurialism. But the thing that sustains me is I believe very strongly and powerfully that I was meant to be on this earth to help and impact the lives of other women, to help them see what their potential and help them to step into a new path in their life that to do the work that they're meant to do in the world, right? And so because I believe that's my purpose, that's what sustains me. So whenever I get frustrated, whenever I think, oh, this is too much, because I'm running a business, right? I love the work that I do with my clients, but I am running a business and it can get hairy. It can get dicey. There can be times where, you know, things happen in our world that impacts our businesses. But the thing that you have to hold on to is, who are you looking to make an impact for in their lives? What are you here to do? And hold on to that, because the world needs what you have to offer. And the world and your people are waiting for you to come and be their superhero for them, to rescue and come and save the day for them. And that's what I think about. There's so many people that are out there, so many women, so many of my clients who are waiting for me to be able to help them. And that's what sustains me. And that's what keeps me going. So as I help the women I'm helping with now, I always think about who else out there could use my support, could use what I have to offer. That's what sustains me. And if you can hold on to that, then you will be able to weather all of the storms. You know, my pastor told me once before that you're either in three phases. You're either coming into a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're preparing to head into a storm. And that's very true of entrepreneurial life, right? You're either riding high, or you're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Or you're prepping yourself for what may come around the corner. And so if you understand that, the truth of that, and know also the truth of what you're meant to do in the world, then you'll ride the wave and be totally fine.
I love it. Dr. Carol Parker Walsh. So interesting, so impactful, such an amazing story of hearing the voice to turn, and you're on the highway, and that started an entirely different trajectory for you. It was obviously a challenging and difficult time through the recovery period, but you came out and you made some action steps that now you're taking that experience and helping so many other women in their lives, using not only your great background and experience, but also this understanding of human nature and this understanding of the way in which women lead their lives and the way in which they can come outside of the box, and not only come outside the box, but smash the box and kick it aside and leave it on the side of the road, if you will. So, Dr. Carol, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been an absolute delight. And I wanted to thank you for cutting some time out for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an absolute pleasure.